Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're talking about Oxenfree 2. Before we talk about Oxenfree 2, wanted to do a quick announcement, housekeeping-wise, which is that we're moving the podcast to an irregular cadence, so we won't be like a bi-weekly release. Instead, it will be more when we can put them out. There'll be more details about this on our Ask Us Anything number 2 that's going to come out the same day as this. So listen there. We go kind of full explanation, but we wanted to say it on this episode just in case maybe someone listened to Oxenfree, but they didn't listen to Ask Us Anything. So just kind of throwing that out there, moving to an irregular cadence. Also, something we talked about when we were kind of planning this is we really like the idea of phase one, quote unquote, of the podcast starting and ending on Oxenfree. Mm-hmm. There's something that, I don't know, felt pretty right about that of, you know, time shenanigans. And these being our bookends. Show opened up, first episode we ever did, Oxenfree.
Yep.
Show moving on to a new phase, and that first phase wrapping up with Oxenfree 2. It just felt right.
Mm-hmm. Is this, what episode number is this to?
199.
Damn. Yeah, very close.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ask Us Anything number 2 will be 200.
Okay, cool.
So, which I guess, you know, maybe technically they should be flipped, but...
Whatever.
I don't know. I guess to celebrate 200, that needed to be 200.
Yeah. That's true. It wouldn't make sense if it's 199.
Yeah, that was
just a lie.
Yeah. Say, oh, you're celebrating.
Something that's not true.
Celebrating an episode early.
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, check that. Ask Us Anything number 2 for more details about that. Yeah, I guess we can jump in. Oxenfree 2.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep, description. As TVs turn on and off, planes lose radar, radio stations can't broadcast through the static, in the small coastal town of Kamina, unnaturally occurring electromagnetic waves are suddenly causing interference with electrical and radio equipment. Reluctantly, Riley Poverly returns to her hometown to investigate the mystery, but what she finds is more than she bargained for.
Awesome. And then production info, this is developed by Night School Studio, who we of course know for Oxenfree, and also After Party that we did when that came out. Other notable thing about Night School Studio is they got acquired by Netflix in September 2021. Netflix, at this point, is trying to kind of launch a gaming, sort of subdivision, I guess. It's in Netflix, and I think Night School Studio is the first and maybe only studio they own.
Mm-hmm.
But then on Netflix, there are other games available that you can play on your phone, including this. If you have a Netflix subscription, you haven't played Oxenfree or Oxenfree 2, you can just play them on your phone.
That's pretty wild and pretty cool. Pretty cool idea. I mean, I don't love playing games on my phone, but it's a cool thing to play like a real game on a phone, not just a weird clickbait phone game.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is cool. And I'd be curious, Netflix would probably never share this. I guess we could just infer if it works or not, but I wonder if this could get people who don't play games to play games. Like, if you have a Netflix subscription, but you don't play games, you still can for free. Like,
yeah,
you
can why be not? Like,
what's Oxenfree? Mm-hmm. I'll go look, you know, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that really could open things up for people. I don't know if it will, but I hope it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. We can move on to some non-spoiler thoughts. First thing I've got on here is I thought this was a good sequel to the first game, and I'm impressed that that worked out, because when the first game ended, I wasn't sure we'd needed a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I'm like, and this is dumb that they did one. I don't feel that way at all. But instead, that, like, it was a game that didn't need a sequel, and I imagine for them making it, like, they probably didn't feel like it needed a sequel. I mean, they made After Party. They probably looked at making other games before they came up with this idea and were like, all right, cool, let's actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they did made sense. I think it's good. Like, it's a worthy sequel, especially when one you wouldn't have expected. So I think they did a good job there.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a good follow-up. Yeah, if you like the first game, you'll like this one too, I think, as we'll talk about. One thing that I was thinking about as I was thinking about the first game is I think I liked the characters more in the first game than in this one. Not that they were bad in this one or something, but I think they just stood out more, like their relationship stood out more in the first game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that because I don't want to spoil anything. But
yeah, no, I think I could agree with that. I feel like the characters from the first game I felt a little more invested in than here. Not that I felt uninvested here, but not quite the same.
Yep.
I would agree.
Yeah, and I don't exactly know it was different, but something.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I thought another thing in this is they nailed their kind of unique conversation system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I would say probably of any game we've played, it probably has like the best dialogue setup where like if you're not fast enough, you don't say anything.
Yeah, and it's also easy because it's like each like button like on PlayStation, what, triangle, square, circle is a different one of the three conversation options.
Mm-hmm.
You just click it and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. It feels really natural in how they do dialogue and stuff like that. So they did a great job with that again. So good on them.
Yeah, and just like the first game, there's a lot of consequences that happen based on dialogue. So it matters. It's not like, oh, just say nothing ever and like you'll be playing neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, my last thought generally is like this game seemed a little more scary or like more like ominous maybe than the first game.
Yeah.
So I thought that was something interesting. It's like, didn't know what was going on. It was a little creepier.
Yeah. I agree. I felt like the first game, it felt a little more like young adult adventure sort of thing. And so there's like some creepy things.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I don't know, it just felt more grown up or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess because your characters are like your adults.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, probably people who are in their 20s or early 30s, something like that. And the scares like matched or followed that. You're like, yeah. Oh, this has turned up a bit.
Yeah. And yeah, and also as I was playing this, I really didn't remember a whole lot from the first game aside from some of the characters. So me saying this one seems more scary might just be because I don't remember the first one a lot. So could be that too.
Yeah, no, that's possible. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, those are our non-spoiler thoughts. We'll hop into our recap, kind of spoil everything here. So if you haven't played, go play it and come back. Definitely worth your time playing. I think also time-wise, it's what, maybe like 8 hours?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 7 for me-ish.
Yeah.
And maybe it's worth saying that there's probably spoilers from the first game.
Yeah.
Random ones throughout, so just that's there too. If you haven't played the first game, you should probably play that before you listen to this.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I would recommend playing the first one before playing this.
Yeah,
for sure. I think again, you could play Oxenfree 2 without playing 1, yeah. But I think it would be less good.
You'd be confused at certain points of the story. Certain characters and situations, yeah. Like, you should, yeah. I'd say first one's not required, but important.
Yeah, it's important enough that it's worth it. And is a good game, so it's not a, like, you have to push through a game you don't want to play this one. Instead, you'd be playing a game that's worthwhile.
Yeah, also, if you're going to play this game, it makes sense you play the first one, because they're both similar and very good.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right, so our game begins. Riley's returned to her hometown of Kamina to start a new job as an environmental research assistant. And what she's doing is she's sent to her hometown area to set up equipment for, like, radio frequencies.
Yeah, like big transmitter pole things.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, satellite dishes on them.
Yep. And you get woken up at, like, the bus stop by your boss, Evelyn, on the walkie-talkie, who's like, all right, hey, come and do this. Welcome to your new job. We're having you investigate this stuff. You're like, okay, cool. You start walking up to the lighthouse, which is just past where you were. And on your way there, you end up going through an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically how you see anomalies in this game are kind of this like rift looking thing. The color looks different than the color that you're in for its setting, and it will put up like a date. In this one it says 1952. But this happens a couple different times throughout the game, and you end up kind of traveling to the lighthouse in 1952. You're on it, you're talking to someone for a second, but then the anomaly breaks and the game restarts you right back at the beginning. You get woken up at the bus stop to your boss, and your boss is having the same conversation you just had, and you're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Did I just have this conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, you can react different ways. Like, you can kind of roll with it, or you can be like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
So, did you ever react, like, in these, or did you kind of like, oh, whatever?
In the beginning, I played it cool, so mm-hmm. I had the same conversation, essentially.
Yeah, same.
Again, because for me, I felt like Riley was like, oh, fuck, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to, like, play my cards.
Yeah.
Later on, as the game goes and stuff, I changed how I did it, but here I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, like, I don't want them to think I'm crazy on the first time I've talked to them.
Right, yeah.
Bad move as an employee.
Right, and just to figure out, you know, what is up.
Yeah, like, imagine telling your boss first when you first meet them, hey, I think I'm stuck in a time loop. Like, right. This is wild. Like, you're fired.
Right, you're done. Never mind.
Yep.
What I wasn't, I guess we'll get there in a minute, but what I wasn't sure of fairly early on was if I could trust Evelyn or not.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing too, was like, it seems strange that you want us to, like, study these frequencies. It's mm-hmm. like, could be bad.
Yeah, it wasn't at this moment that I didn't trust her, but it was a little bit later that we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just stopped calling her because I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah.
And it was like, maybe I don't want you involved with kind of the rest of this.
I think I know exactly the point you're talking about. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah.
If we're on the same page.
Yeah. Also, I guess last thing on the intro is I really like this as a start to the game. I was like pulled in immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yep.
Which was nice.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, the first minute, there's already a weird time skip. You're like, okay, this is strange.
Uh-huh.
What's going on here?
Yeah, I like that. I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. From here, you end up going to the general store that's near the center of town where you're at for your kind of additional, like, mountain supplies and other stuff to do your research, but it's locked. So then from there, because it's locked, Evelyn just directs you to go meet up with Jacob, who's going to be your partner for this, who you're going to be working with. And you go and you find him and start talking with him. And he's kind of like the awkward kid that never left,
yeah.
Basically, is he's also from the hometown. And they went to high school together. It doesn't seem like they were friends, but maybe we're kind of like, oh, I saw you around school.
Yeah, like, I know who you are / who you were, but mm-hmm. we never, like, talked.
Yep. And also in this spot, I think you learn that each of them are, like, starting to figure things out, or they're at, like, crossroads in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Riley, who's returned to her hometown because her dad isn't doing well. And so that's what's kind of brought her back here. You find out she used to be in, like, the military and mm-hmm. Also, I think, was kind of a rough kid in high school.
Yeah.
And then Jacob basically seems like he never pursued more. And so he's just kind of been stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's kind of like, I like who I am, but maybe I don't. Like, it's sort of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of like a, aimless dude who's, like, realized, oh, I can't just do nothing forever. It's, like, not, I need some kind of meaning mm-hmm. or whatever, or purpose or anything. So I think that's, yeah, kind of his thing. Because, well, yeah, you find out later his, like, parents died and they left him this really cool, like, house thing.
Mm-hmm.
House thing. It's a house. It's a thing with a roof on it. And so he's got, like, stuff and resources, but he's just aimless.
Yeah, it seems like he's just kind of done what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he's done that enough that he's realized, like, maybe that's not the best. Like, I don't think he's, like, quite, like, I want to change. I want to be a new Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But he might want to be that. You mm-hmm. know, like, he's like, the before that part.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I wish I wanted that.
I want that.
Yeah, he's kind of like that. So you two are dialoguing a little bit, and I would say that he's probably naturally more friendly and goofy, and you're probably a little more reserved or standoffish,
mm-hmm.
Sort of by nature, but you don't have to, like, play that way if you don't want to. I tried to play nice, mostly, I would say, mm-hmm. just because I'm like, he's not being a dick, so I'm not going to, like, try to be a dick to him.
Yeah, he was just kind of awkward.
Yeah. But
he was being friendly. Yeah, I feel like in games like this, I'll always play nice. Unless the person you're talking to gives you a reason not to.
Yeah.
But he didn't give us any reason not to. Or didn't give me. Maybe gave you one. I don't know.
No. No, I agree. And I think same. I would like to play nice, generally speaking, and like not be cold to people unnecessarily or something like that.
Yeah.
I can help it. So you guys walk and head off together to the spot to place your first transmitter. What you also find out when you're in this section is you look at the map and you can kind of see the area. There's spots for four transmitters where you need to be like a certain height on the island to be able to look over to Edward's Island that's nearby,
mm-hmm.
basically to be close enough. So you get to the first spot, you set up the transmitter, and then a beam comes up out of the transmitter.
It's like a lightning bolt.
Yeah. And it just like shoots. It's this like huge, like solid beam too. Like mm-hmm. it looks like something in Star Wars or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's huge. And it shoots over to Edward's Island and like seems to hit
mm-hmm.
on something over there and like stay connected, like as if it was like reaching some other point.
Mm-hmm.
And when this happens, Riley gets transported through several visions or time jumps or whatever. One of them is seeing the, I will say who they are now, the Parentage kids. Yeah. Parentage is this like cult that is on the island that some of the kids that you'll interact with later are part of.
They're like parents are in it or something, or family is in it, I yeah. think, right? Or... some they have some connections to it and are in it because of that, I think.
Yeah, that's my impression. And so these kids are like teenagers
mm-hmm.
who are seeing something. And so you see them. This vision seems to be them more like present day.
Mm-hmm.
So you like see a place that you're not at. Then you get another vision of you talking with a young boy who, I don't know, seems like he's maybe like an elementary school age
yeah.
kid.
Yep.
And you're like talking with him. About some things, and then you hop back to the start of the game. Or not the start of the game. Hop back to where you were with the beam.
No, you hop back to the... you hop back to the bench in the middle of town before you go to the general store.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You hop back... because you're separate from Jacob at mm-hmm. first. Yeah, you're right. You hop back there. And you're just like, whoa, what the hell happened? Mm-hmm. So then you go off and you end up finding Jacob, and Jacob doesn't tell you what happened to him, but it seems like he had something similar.
Yeah.
Where stuff got weird
mm-hmm.
and he ended up back where he started.
Mm-hmm.
And so you call Evelyn and you're like, hey, the beam thing like did something and maybe it's broken. She's like, well, I'll get it reconnected. And then yeah. kind of.
She's like, can you go back up there and check? And you're like, what? What the hell?
Right.
And then you do it.
Yeah, and so you do it, and you get it set back up, and you don't get thrown back into a loop or anything. But it, I don't know, throws things off, for sure. You and Jacob are both weirded out, and you do it. But for me, this is sort of the point where I was like, all right, do you trust her anymore?
Yeah.
Because
this wasn't my point yet.
Oh, okay.
Right after this.
Okay. For me, this is where I became concerned with her, because she didn't seem to care about our concerns with it and was basically like, just do your job.
Yeah.
And because of this, I felt like I had almost like fallen onto another side. If there was like the side of our jobs and Evelyn's telling us what to do, to set this beam up after this kind of freaky experience, it felt like to me, us and Jacob were kind of on this other side, and we're like, we might do the same thing you want, but we're not doing it for the reasons you want, and we might be trying to do something different. That's mm-hmm. sort of how I felt and got to, and was like, maybe I don't trust them anymore. So from here, I don't think I called her ever again.
Okay.
I think she'd call me and I'd answer to like keep up appearances, but before this, she told us, like, hey, go to each one and call me when you get there beforehand.
It was actually right after that.
Okay.
It's, yeah, that's when I didn't trust her. After this, and then she was like, okay, go plant three more of these things and then tell me right before you plant them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's a little fishy. It's like you're going to like
yeah
do something. So that's when I didn't trust her as much.
Yeah.
So I always told her after. Like, oh yeah, we planted it.
Okay.
Just to see what she would do and whatever. I'm not going to speak ahead yet, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I called her again.
Yeah, I did.
Like, I think I just did it, but I don't think I called her
yeah, again. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you had to. I don't think anything would. Well, maybe something would change. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll figure out as we go.
Yeah.
We diverged in our stories.
Yeah, I bet we did. At least some, maybe grander picture. But yeah, I just stopped calling because it's like, I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she called, I'd answer and engage. But I was just like, I don't trust you. So
don't trust him.
Yep. So from here, you head back to the general store. Because you need to get your climbing equipment, because you can't access the whole island without it. Some of the places you want to put the points on, you won't be able to get to without it. And you get there, and you see one of the parentage kids breaking into the general store. So you chase after them. I think I messed up some of the sequence here.
You're good. Remember. So
yeah, you go for it.
Yeah, let's see. Actually, yeah, so when you get transported through these time loops after you plant the transmitter, you wake up back at the bench, and then that's when you're like, oh, I should go find Jacob again. And then you walk back to the general store, and then there's that kid breaking in. Then there's another time loop, and you go back to the bench, and you're like, what the hell? And you do it again, but this time the general store's on fire. Remember that? And then you have to, like, do those two weird machines.
That's right.
That I didn't like doing. And then after that, like, time goes back to normal. Then you, like, then you go and find Jacob at the transmitter.
Okay. That's,
or, and that you guys kind of meet each other at on the way to the transmitter.
That's right. And then back at the transmitter,
mm-hmm.
Jacob gets possessed.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. So you find Jacob back at his car, and you're both like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then your walkie-talkies are fried, so you get new ones at the car, then you go back up.
Okay.
So yeah, sorry. There's a lot of jumps around, so it's kind of hard to keep track of it.
No, there are. So. And then at the transmitter, Jacob gets possessed by the sunken.
The red monster sunken thing.
Yeah, and so Jacob gets possessed. He has, like, the red eyes, and Riley goes through more visions. This is one of her, like, drinking at a bar. And kind of arguing with the bartender.
Yep. Was that the only one? I can't remember. I do remember that one specifically.
Yeah. If there were other ones, I don't remember them. That was the one that stood out to me.
Yeah.
So then we get to the spot that we alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Evelyn telling us to plant three more transmitters.
Yep.
And so we go game plan at Jacob's house nearby to figure out, all right, which ones do we want to hit up? All that stuff. On the way there, we find out that Jacob was friends with Maggie Adler, who was talked about some in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of sets you up for lore around the island, because when Jacob was a kid, Maggie would give him money to go bury letters for her around the town.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can find these and sort of get Maggie Adler's thoughts on things,
mm-hmm.
Kind of through the game.
Yeah. And I guess the reason why she's important is because Jacob has, like, I think journals or notebooks from hers that, like, essentially talk about what's going on and how to stop it, hence the more transmitters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you want to plant them at least.
Yeah.
And Evelyn's, like, wants you to plant them for whatever reason, I don't remember.
Right.
But you're like, we're going to do it for this reason. And that's kind of, yeah, where we both probably agreed, like, all right, we're doing this regardless of what your reasons are, but maybe there's some distrust.
Right, because Maggie Adler, I think, has been sort of the, it seems like kind of the, almost like the hermit old lady on the island,
mm-hmm.
who knows why the island's weird, but everyone just thinks she's crazy.
Yeah.
That seems like sort of what it is. So, like, yep. She seems to have understood the sunken. This is what's going on. How do you get rid of the sunken? Like, she seems to have spent her time and thoughts on this kind of thing, and everyone's like, weird hermit.
Yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah. Sort of thing. You're game planning on that, and what you learn from kind of her journals at Jacob's is that the frequencies, you can shut the loop by setting these all up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, okay, we want to do this for our reasons. Like you said, Evelyn might have others. I was distrustful of like, oh, is this some sort of like weird government thing where you want to like harness the power of this stuff?
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, well, I want to make sure that can't happen. So yeah, I'm not
going to shut this shit down.
Yeah. We need this to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like the way that this all worked, I felt invested in the mission, like as Riley,
mm-hmm.
for sure, of like, all right, we're going to solve this no matter what it takes. And Jacob, I think, was a good partner in that, as his vibe was the same, like, let's figure it out.
Yeah, he's like, let's do something important.
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, both of you kind of on board of like, let's try Maggie Adler's plan. If we can stop whatever this weird time and ghost stuff is, let's do it.
Yep.
So then from here, we get our climbing equipment. Also, we can go everywhere. There's three transmitters here. I think you can set them almost in any way that you'd want. But I'm just putting it down the way I did.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. There was one spot where I tried to go.
And you can't go.
Yeah.
I tried to go there first. It's the third one at the mine.
Yeah, because you need like the special radio thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that one you maybe have to do last.
Okay.
But that's where I also tried to go first.
Okay. Well,
but I think the other two you
could, that was the closest one.
Yeah. You could do. So transmitter number one, I guess, for this section. This one you travel through mines kind of on the way there. A big thing that happens here is you enter an anomaly from 1899 to use a functional mine. That's not the destroyed one you have here. And you use this to be able to kind of transport out of the mine.
Mm-hmm.
On the way, though, during this time jump, there's a flashback of Riley talking to her dad when she was growing up. That had some kind of like meaningful moments, and you kind of seeing what their relationship was like.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, at this point, I was a little bit confused on like, are we back in time, or did somehow her dad get transported to current time?
Because
it was a little weird because he was like talking as if he was there helping her get out of this cave, but like didn't know he was doing that. It was just, yeah, it's like, oh, trippy.
Yeah. Very trippy. Yeah, it was weird. It felt like it was like a sort of a, almost like if it was a dream, mm-hmm. of like a mix of a real memory,
yeah.
and your fictional thing going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's like your dad's dead, but he's like guiding you through this difficult time in your head or something. That's kind of like the vibe I got.
Yeah, it felt like that.
I don't think it necessarily was that, but
yeah, I feel like how reality works in this game, which makes sense, is it's super messy, obviously, because yeah. of these timeline things and. Mm-hmm. And I guess even like possible timelines, since it can jump future,
yeah.
stuff like that. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I did this transmitter second, by okay. the way. So
cool.
I'll let you know if anything's different.
Okay. Nice. Then from here, once you like get out of the mines, you go to a bridge, and one of the parentage kids, a girl named Violet, is possessed on the bridge. So. Red eyes, she's hovering like, I don't know, 20 feet above the ground,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, yo. And you, again, as these games will let you do, you can react kind of a couple ways. You could be mean, you could probably be neutral, you could be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to be nice here, like, don't hurt yourself, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Did she jump off the bridge?
She ran away from me.
She jumped off in mine.
Oh, wow.
There was a loop where she kept jumping off. And then eventually she didn't, and she ran away. But
okay,
yeah, there was like a,
maybe she did jump.
Yeah, there's a thing where she like, yeah, it's like 4 or 5 times, maybe 6 times even.
That, wow.
Yeah, you would like, you try to get near, and then you'd start saying something, and she would just fall off the bridge backwards. Ooh. Over and over again. And then eventually Riley's like, okay, I gotta be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I forget how I broke it, but maybe there was a machine there or something.
Oh, because do you use the radio frequencies to finally...
You do, yeah, you use, like, the radio frequencies to, like, unpossess them, basically.
Right, because it does the, like, triangle thing from the first game.
Yep.
Where you get to three radio frequencies and it creates a triangle toe.
Yeah, it like sucks the sunken person out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that eventually happened. And then I talked to Violet and she ran off.
Okay.
I didn't want to say Olivia. It's Violet this time.
Yeah. Also in this kind of time period with the possession, Riley gets another vision, this time again with the kid from before.
Mm-hmm.
You find out his name is Rex, and through context clues, you find out, oh, that's my son.
Yep. That show's wild.
Yeah.
That's future me.
Yeah. And you talk to him. He's mad about something, right? You try to give him some wisdom your dad used to give.
Yeah,
like throws penny. Away a lucky penny or something.
Yeah, the penny thing. Yeah. Because her dad was an electrician, and he gave you the penny. If you got mad, to like channel the energy into the penny, that's your anger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he throws a penny. He's like, fuck that. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
So you have that, and then you plant the transmitter, beam number two, shoots over to Edwards Island.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So far, that's the same.
Okay.
Is my experience with it, even though it was the second transmitter.
Cool. Now on to the next transmitter. While you're on the way, you get a vision of the Parentage parents and their daughter, Olivia. So the times you've interacted with Olivia so far, have only been a little bit, but she's been like the mean one of the three kids.
Yeah. Like, she's like the ringleader.
She's the ringleader, and she's like pretty intense,
mm-hmm.
and kind of angry and upset, more seeming than the other two.
Yeah.
But in this vision, totally the opposite. She's like a great kid,
mm-hmm.
doing super well, and her parents are there, and it's sort of, they're interacting just like loving family.
Yeah, it's also their interacting, it's, I don't even know where they are. It's like a, almost like an old Greek temple. It's mm-hmm. kind of hard to even,
yeah.
even say. Maybe they're like on vacation or something.
I don't know. I'm not sure if. Where they were. I did think it did look unique. So.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that. Then you see another Parentage kid while you're walking around, who's Charlie. And you chase after him, but he gets away. Jacob is, like, super pissed
mm-hmm.
in this spot. Like, his feelings are at, like, a 10, when mm-hmm. they probably don't need to be. Maybe yeah. they should be at a 5.
Like, I mean, yeah, a little... 15-year-old kids talking shit, and you're like, I'm gonna beat you up, but I can't because I'm an adult.
Yeah. Or like, you know, has stole something you want. Like,
uh-huh.
it makes sense to be mad at them, and like, I could understand yelling at them, but he's like really worn up.
He's about to like
worked up,
beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, he would if he could, but
yep.
Charlie got away.
Yep.
And you play kind of the mediator role here.
Mm-hmm.
I basically like just tried to calm him down. I was like, you're fine. It's fine. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have another vision. You get pulled into another vision where it's funeral for Rex's gecko. So you like take him down to the water and you put him on like a little boat to like push him away. This is pretty sad. Rex is pretty sad
mm-hmm.
about his gecko dying.
yeah.
You're like, oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, it was a pretty sad moment.
Mm-hmm. I felt for him. Like Rex mm-hmm. has been a little bit of a shithead. I mean, I think he's like... the age of kid where they can be shitheads.
Yeah, he's probably like 10,
yeah.
11.
Yeah, like independent enough, but also like not. And so you like...
It's a child still.
Yeah, yeah and also a yeah. child. And so you have yeah. that like clash of like, I'm a grown up. And
yeah.
you're like, you're 10.
Yeah, like you don't have shit about shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like
yeah,
so
you're 10 years old.
Yeah, you kind of have that sort of challenge. And so he's like really upset and sad about this. And... you know, you try to help make it better as you can, but it was sad. I felt
yeah,
sad for him.
He was not having any of the comfort.
Yeah. I felt like this was a good spot to get some sympathy for him
mm-hmm.
since he's mostly been just angry.
Yeah.
Which also, I guess, you haven't done it, but Riley's talked about how she's been really angry as a kid and things like that. That you see that like anger is like a real pitfall for Riley in her life.
It's like a family thing.
A family thing that it like made her life worse. It mm-hmm. kind of always. It did in high school. It did when she was in the military and basically like has just been her like Achilles heel almost
yep.
of like a thing that's really harmed her life. And so even seeing Rex be this way, I think she's having some of those feelings of like, oh, this is hard to deal with, of like, you're like me.
Mm-hmm.
Your bad qualities are my bad qualities.
Yep. Yeah, and with that, it's like she knows how to help him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 10 and angry, so he doesn't want to listen.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
Yep. You then catch up with Charlie in the sequence, and Charlie gets possessed, and you help him, similar to the Violet one before mm-hmm. it, of going through it, frequencies, all of yeah. that, trying yeah. to help him and try to be kind.
Yep, to make the triangle suck out the red demon thingy.
Mm-hmm. You get another vision, fishing with Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going through there. I think also in this section, you tell Jacob you're pregnant. Or Ken.
Oh.
Somewhere around this area.
I don't remember if I told him here.
Or, well, you can, I guess. I don't... Yeah. It might not be this area, but I think this is... I think it's somewhere in the middle of the game.
Maybe it's the second transmitter. Whichever one you do second.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I feel like I didn't tell him at the first one, but we did them reversed, so maybe I told him... I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I just feel like it wasn't, like, later on after this, the game kind of turns up a bit, and I feel like I told him before that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have an option where you're walking with him, and you can say, I came back for my dad, but also I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of let him know, and he's cool about it. He's like, oh, cool, congratulations, and he's happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice, but you could choose not to and keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I definitely told him. I just don't remember when.
Yeah. But also I felt like kind of that revelation among all of these visions, you're like, oh man, like, not only are you pregnant and you're trying to figure that out, but you also are seeing visions of this future kid and kind of what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be rough.
Yeah. Intense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You plant your second transmitter. You're all good. From here though, you, decide to head to the community center. You find out that that's where the parentage kids are going. Olivia's headed there as well. And you get there and you find a better radio than the one you have, which, as we mentioned earlier, will let you into the third area. You want it to be able to go to the third area to plant the next transmitter. Olivia wants it, though, because Olivia and the parentage kids have been actively working to bring the sunken out.
Mm-hmm.
So they want the opposite
yeah.
of what you want. They want to bring all the sunken out, bring them into our world. Because basically, kind of the setup we have here is the sunken are kind of caught between universes or worlds, essentially.
Yeah. Dimensions.
Dimensions, yeah. So they're like, because of the radio frequencies or things like that, those are like little cracks
uh-huh.
in it. And so they're able to like push through.
Mm-hmm.
And so Olivia wants to let them all out because they say that your parents are here. I don't think they're lying necessarily, but that your parents are here. And so if you let us out, we'll all be able to be connected and you can be reunited with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And as we saw it earlier, that's super meaningful to her. She was really close to her family.
Yep. And they died in a plane crash
mm-hmm.
when she was younger. So it's traumatic, tragic, unexpected. Yeah.
Totally. And so they're trying to kind of break out of that. Meanwhile, you are trying to, of course, stop this. Also, probably by this point, I didn't write this down, but you've talked to Alex.
I think this is the first time you do.
Okay, this is...
Well, this is the first time she names herself as Alex.
She names herself as Alex. Alex from the first game.
Yep.
He
was stuck in the sunken place.
Yeah, stuck there as well from the first game.
Yep.
Which
I'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
That happened. So
that she's stuck in the loop.
Cool reminder.
Yeah. And it sounds like from some of their conversation that maybe Alex was trying to have Olivia kind of help her
mm-hmm.
to get out to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And so she was kind of thinking that, but then as you start being involved, Alex is like, actually, we should not do this, and sort of switches sides.
Yeah. And then I think at the same time, the other sunken who are like the there were people like on the submarine that blew up, and they, long story short, play the first game or like listen to our episode on it. They start talking to Olivia too, and they're like, no, let us out. So there's like Alex talking to her, that's probably being honest. And then there's a sunken that are probably lying to her, trying to get her to let them out.
Yep.
So there's like three different people talking to her and all saying different things, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of wild stuff. So you find this radio, though, at the community center. You have a confrontation with Olivia, Charlie, and Violet. And in this, ultimately, Charlie and Violet come around to your side. They're like, she's actually been trying to help us, and like she's against the sunken, and like we should close this. The sunken is bad.
I wonder how this would go if you were mean to them.
I think that they would be Team Olivia.
Yeah, but I just wonder what
I don't know what would happen from it, but
yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, Olivia was definitely on the island here though, because we were good to them.
Yep.
Olivia, though, still wants to open the portal, and so you have this kind of wild sequence where, the radio is somewhere, and it's almost like a football being, like, fumbled all around the field, but then also the house keeps shifting, so it, like, shifts sideways, and so then you, like, get up, you try to climb up the house, like it's a ladder to get to it, and then it flips to the left, and you run down the left to go get the radio. And so it's just like bouncing all around. You're racing to the radio before Olivia gets there. Ultimately, you do get it and leave with the radio, and you and Jacob continue on, and Olivia is upset.
Yep, quite upset.
And you're like, no, we have to do this. See ya.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't just say too bad. You're like, they're lying to you. They like want to take over your body or something bad. Like, I forget exactly what you communicate, but... Essentially, it's like, you're not going to get your parents back. They're gone. Sorry, but you should move on.
Yep. So you head to the abandoned mine for the third transmitter. To do that, you can gain access with this stronger radio. It has a radio frequency lock. Your original radio was too weak, so you couldn't get in. This one you can. You time travel again to 1930 to make your way through the mine. Again, it's in disrepair. When you're about to plant the transmitter, you climb like atop the church, like steeple essentially, and Jacob falls through the church. And so you go after him, you rescue him. There's, some weird light stuff down here with some light puzzles of where to get things. But you ultimately plant it, rescue him. It works. You plant the transmitter. But you found out that Olivia has gone rogue.
Yep.
That she's trying to open the portal on St. Edward's Island. So you've managed to close it with all the four beams shooting over, but if she can go and get closer, she can essentially set up a new beam on the island.
She can like override the signal somehow. I don't know the science behind it, but
Essentially doing that by being there, being closer with, I don't know, the lighthouse that's there or something.
Yeah. I think there's like a radio tower there that's like, probably way more powerful than the transmitters are.
So, she heads there. You're getting ready to go, and Jacob ends up reuniting with his dog, Athena, who, he'd been looking for kind of the whole time. And so you see her, and that's nice. And then together you can head to, the island to stop Olivia. You do have the option of trying to get Jacob to stay behind here. And so,
did you do that?
I did not.
I didn't either.
I might have, I think I said it once. But he's like, no, I'm coming. And I was like, all right, cool, you're in.
I don't think I even tried. I assume he will never stay, just based on what we'll talk about, but.
I'm guessing also not, unless maybe your relationship is somehow like a certain way.
Yeah.
For him to not be there. But my guess is he does always come.
Yeah.
But just... I did suggest it because he was really glad to see his dog. And I was just like, well, maybe this will make sure the dog's fine. Because no dogs getting hurt.
No dogs ever getting hurt in anything I watch or play. Except that one time we played a...
Again,
one of those games. I'm not gonna spoil it.
But yeah, that was the worst.
I had to play it.
Yeah, That sucked.
Yep.
still scarred. Mm-hmm. But you head off. You manage to find a boat on the dock, and you head there. When you get to St. Edward's, Olivia has been taken over by the Sunken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen different people get taken over by the Sunken before this. This one is way more intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up getting taken over as well. You, like, try to use the frequency to, like, disrupt it, and it does not work, and you get taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's sort of like you're inside your mind, and you complete puzzles to basically break the control.
Yep.
Which is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunken, when you do this, you're ultimately able to push the Sunken back into their dimension, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we find out that the only way to lock them in there permanently is that someone needs to stay behind and lock them inside.
Mm-hmm.
Alex lets us know this.
From the first game.
Yeah.
Was that at the end of the first game? I can't remember.
Locking it inside?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
She, I forget what she does. She does something to keep the Sunken inside, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they end up leaving on the ferry.
Oh, they do. But then, you missed this part because you left after we played. We finished the game, the credits roll, and then It pops up and it says continue, ?
Uh-huh.
And you play the game again.
Oh.
And it's just more Sunken-y. But Alex is stuck in the time loop.
Oh. Okay.
So, because Alex here, I think, says, I tried to close it myself when I was here before, but I couldn't do it. It didn't work.
Okay.
But this time, I think because of what we have, we can really make it work.
I'll have to rewatch the end of that game then?
Yeah.
Or just replay it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's worth it. It was cool.
Yeah.
And so, our option... we need someone to stay behind to lock it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Riley has the choice, and you can choose yourself. Mm-hmm. That I'll stay behind. I'll lock it to make sure that this is all fine. You can choose Jacob and say, hey, this is for you. or Olivia is saying, I want to do it.
Yeah, she's
let me do this.
Yeah, she'll be pissed if you don't.
Yeah, you know, I can be with my parents. I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose her. So, what did you do?
Olivia.
Yeah.
One, she was fighting for it. Two, her reasons weren't that crazy. Like, they were like, all right, you want to be with your parents? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Riley being pregnant, like, seems kind of messed up.
Mm.
And then Jacob just seems kind of messed up. Like, hey, you do this, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're going to make someone else do it, you should make the person who wants to do it.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I felt that way, too, about, like, making someone else do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you... There's someone who's actively volunteering for a thing, and then there's someone else who's not.
Mm-hmm.
It seems shitty to choose the person who's not. So, mm-hmm. to me, Jacob was not really in my mind.
Yeah.
To do it, and it was in my mind more between do I say I got this,
yeah,
or do I say all right, you can do it.
Yeah, because it seemed like with Olivia, if we didn't let her do it, she would just be miserable and or try to undo it later, you know,
right,
or just reopen the portal or something,
right? Yeah, I felt similarly. I did it too. I let Olivia. I felt like I was like, you're a kid, but like, you do want this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it doesn't seem like it's an emotional in the moment thing. Like, mm-hmm. this has been something she's worked towards seemingly a lot before this game started, but then has just mm-hmm. continually gone to it, even yeah. when it's not easy or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I feel like you're allowed to make this choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I support you.
Yeah. And she knew the consequences. Yeah. It wasn't like a, oh, you're like 14, just not thinking this through, and like, I'll do it. And you're like, no, you've thought this through. You understand. It's not like you have as much rational thought into this as I would as an adult, you know, like, so.
Right. Sure,
go ahead.
Oh, and yeah, you understand what you're signing yourself up to is, okay, I'm going to go close the portal. I'm going to get to be with my parents. I know it's not really real,
mm-hmm.
but it will be real to us and I can be with them.
Yep.
And so I would rather that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, even if I don't think you're getting what you want, like, you do, and I don't think I, you know, you're aware of what you're getting into, and so I don't think I should prevent you.
Yep.
That's kind of how I felt.
Exact same.
Yeah. We had some people write in about this. Johnny on Twitter said they chose Olivia. She fought for it. She wanted it. I didn't feel like I had any right to override her choices. So, yeah, on point. Same as us.
Yep. Callum on Twitter said, I had Riley close the portal, but based on what I've heard, I definitely want to see the Olivia ending.
Nice.
I feel like it makes... I feel like I will probably hear mostly Olivia, some Riley, and no Jacob.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That would be my guess, too. Mm-hmm. Tiny and Tired on Twitter said, I chose Olivia. I felt bad because she was a teenager, but also I wanted to give her a choice, agency. Getting to know Rex through Riley's visions, time jumps, whatever, also had me feeling weird, trapping him with his mom. I want to go back and choose Riley to see how it's different, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be cool to replay and see the different endings for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tej on Twitter said, Riley was who I was going to choose the first run, but I wound up going with Olivia and broke my heart.
And last, Nikki on Twitter said, I originally wanted to pick Jacob to give him a chance to do something big. It was very interesting to see him decline with the reasoning that he wanted to go do something with his life. Didn't want to pick Riley because of the pregnancy. Things felt weird with future visions, so I picked the girl Olivia. She wanted to be with her parents anyway, so I was like, yo, please let me do it. Man, if she wants to volunteer and someone really has to do it, let the kiddo do it. If they want, I don't care.
Yeah, it sums up what I was thinking. Yep.
Sums that up. Yeah, something that Nikki brought up on there that is good is, so Jacob, I guess if you volunteer him, there's a chance he'll say yes or no, depending on how you relate with him. I was reading about this.
Hmm.
Apparently, if you're like us and you're nice to Jacob, he's going to say no, and it seems like Nikki was as well. If you're nice to Jacob, he'll say no and be like, no, I want to do something with my life. Ultimately, this isn't that. But I guess if you're mean to him, he'll feel like, well, the world hasn't had any meaning to it. This is the thing that will bring me meaning. Huh. And I'll do this.
Okay.
To kind of wrap it up.
Hmm.
Something I thought was interesting in this choice that we didn't talk about was Alex is the one who kind of poses this choice to you, and she's kind of pushing through there. And something she lets you know is, hey, you and Rex don't end well, just so you know. And I thought that that was a good piece to this decision in itself. And I think gave the idea of Riley, like, I would say some temptation or thought of, like, okay, like, I've seen what my son's relationship has been like in these other ways, but finding out, like, long term our friendship isn't well, what if I go in here and it'll be whatever it is here, you know, what if I get to miss the big hurt or something like that, or you know, I guess being pregnant, is he there at all? I don't know how that works. But like, does that mean if you're in that version you could only make the good memories?
No idea.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting, and like her bringing that thought. But also Alex said, you know, I don't know all, you know, I'm not all knowing or something like that, but I saw like what the future looks like, and this is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, she said in like most timelines or whatever, like it turns out not great.
Yeah, which is, I don't know. I thought that was cool. Like,
yeah,
just as a adding challenge to this.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's like maybe even just knowing that, you could, as Riley, make that not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe by trying so hard to make it not the case, you would make it the case. Like, you know,
oh,
who could say?
Yeah, I feel like it'd be impossible to not overthink that as a...
Yeah, like everything I do.
Riley, after this, of like, all right, if it always ends bad, what do I do to make sure it ends good? And like, you know, what if it was, oh, I knew I was too harsh and angry, so, or I think I'd be that way, so I will just not tell my kids anything. But then their lives are ruined because I never disciplined, or I never
disengaged.
Yeah, or I was not emotionally invested because I didn't want to be angry, and that also still ruined. You know, like what a tough fucking thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Super hard. Yep. Either way, ultimately, whoever closes the portal, and I didn't write this down. I forgot to write at the very end of the game. You close the portal down. It happens. You're back at the front of the game again. You wake up from Evelyn, and she's like, cool, you guys did it. It's all good. You've planted this. Or she doesn't say transmitters anymore. It's something else.
Yep.
You've done the thing. Good job. Do you want to sign up for a new job?
Yeah, I think because she's talking about, like, watching migrating quails or something. You're like, what?
Yeah, totally something different. So, like, all right, we changed it. Then you start walking around. Alex walks by along with her friends.
Yep, Jonas and the other
folks. Yeah, Jonas other folks. And everyone else. They all head off to the boat, but Alex stops by to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
Her friends don't remember anything, but she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like was kind of like a kind, good friendship moment between the two here.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of connecting and kind of like, oh, thanks for getting us out of there. That was a hard choice.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone could make it.
Yep.
So that was cool. That was nice interacting with Alex. Then you get to interact with Jacob, right? Down at the dock.
And you see his dog.
And his dog. You talk with them. And he remembers.
Yeah, he does.
He also remembers. So it's kind of like, all right, you have this with him and you have this with Alex, but no one else knows.
Mm-hmm.
You connect with him. Then it kind of moves into the epilogue, which is there's kind of like a memory box.
Mm-hmm.
That gets put forth, and it's a letter that's on top that's from Alex to Rex, saying, like, you know, your mom was a lot of things. I knew her. She was a good person. She was brave, blah, blah, blah. She did some stuff. And then...
did some stuff.
Yeah. It's not like... It's not, I didn't feel like reading the letter, it was, like, especially emotional.
Yeah.
Instead, it was more like, your mom's more than you thought she was,
mm-hmm.
basically. And then there's a bunch of items in there that have different significance. There's like stuff from Jacob doing like an art show thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like masks in there.
Yeah, you have a phone with a voicemail from Charlie and Violet, who are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And are happy with... that you let Violet go, that Violet's probably happy and that they also can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things.
Yeah.
I think also some of the items that are there can come from the other people that you manage to talk through.
Uh-huh.
Talk to on the radio. So your radio has, I don't know, 9 signals that have kind of random side characters you could or could not talk to, it seems. Mm-hmm. I talked to a couple of them.
But yeah, I talked to like... Nick?
The sailor guy?
Yeah.
I talked to Nick.
Other than him, I don't know. I talked to anyone?
I talked to a woman who was a park ranger.
No, I didn't talk to her.
And then I talked to one other person, I think. Oh, I talked to a guy who up by the mine had something.
I can't remember. But I feel like I did talk to a couple other people, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
What their names were.
Yeah, so you could talk to some other people, but that's sort of the memory box. Mm-hmm. What happens, I guess, also with the memory box, those kind of alterations, is if Riley goes in, then the box goes to her dad instead.
Hmm.
Instead of Rex.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Jacob that goes in, it still goes to Rex. And then if Jacob goes in his thing instead, someone talks about, like, if you hear a frequency, you can hear his voice, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you go in, then Rex does, or then Jacob does something different also. And Olivia's not doing well if you have her not go. So I think going was probably best.
It's like the best option.
Yeah. I think Olivia going is probably the good option.
Yeah.
Overall. Cause I think she's like, I think there's 2 versions of how unhappy she is. One, she's like really unhappy,
mm-hmm.
and like not doing well at all. And then another one where she like ran away and moved somewhere else and is like doing slightly better, but is still not doing great.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think that we ended up with probably the best ending.
That's good.
I
wonder if in every ending, Alex tells you, I've seen how it ends with you and Rex, and it's not good. I wonder if, depending on how you interact with him in the visions, if there's, like, a way to get, like, oh, if you do this, like, you're losing something really good. I wonder.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't know. Yeah, because it would make it... I could see that being the case, because I feel like there has to be some sort of choice that matters when you interact with Rex.
Yeah.
Because it's a big part of the game. It's like...
Yeah, you have a lot of visions.
Yeah, there's like four.
And some of them are kind of long. Like,
yeah.
They're like fairly involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wonder if that changes based on interactions.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, we can move to general thoughts here. One thing I had, I guess we're still talking about the ending some, but something, just seeing what people did, it seems like the ending was probably heavily Olivia,
yeah,
some Riley, and probably less Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they probably should have added another wrinkle to that, yeah, to have it be probably more of a choice.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how this would work, since it didn't, you know, she tried to do it in the first game. But if there would have been a spot where maybe Alex gets left behind somehow,
mm-hmm,
I could see that being... Like, I think that would be tough, because because mm-hmm of liking Alex from the first game, it would be hard to leave her behind.
Again, yeah. Especially because she's trying to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could see that being an interesting, like, if they could have done something with that.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't... It was a choice, for sure. But it didn't feel as, like, impactful as choices we've done before. Or, like, even
yeah
from the first game. I think in the first game, you have to decide, does Alex do something or does someone else do something? I can't remember exactly
yeah
what it is.
Yeah. Well, because there was a part where you could, like, leave behind the girl who was mean.
Yeah.
And you were like, should I do this? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you suck.
Yeah.
And you, like, felt bad about it, but you're like, whatever, you can be possessed, I don't care.
Yeah, good luck.
And then you feel bad about it.
But... Yeah. But there's, like, real choices in that. And not that there was not real choices in this, but yeah, the ending almost felt like, oh, you should pick Olivia. Makes sense that you would do that.
Yeah, that felt like the most right choice, so to
yeah
speak.
Like, and... I'd say it was, like, a 75%, like, this makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, the 50-50, like... I would want for an in-game crazy choice.
Yeah.
You know? It just, yeah, it didn't feel as difficult to make it.
Yeah. So I wish there was something that would have, like, tweaked that a little bit to make that a bit harder. Because mm-hmm I was, like, when it first got presented, I was, like, it's probably Olivia, right? And the mm-hmm more I thought about it, I was, like, yeah, this is it.
You yeah know? Made sense.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, I have two thoughts. One is related. It was cool having Alex in it again, because mm-hmm I had kind of forgotten about how things went down and that it left on a like a cliffhanger. So it was cool they got out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have two thoughts after that. One is I liked the use of like time jumping to add depth to characters.
Mm-hmm.
That was really well done. Like Riley with her dad or Riley with Rex.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously wouldn't have gotten that because they weren't part of the actual story.
Yeah.
But the adding that was really, really helpful. So I think they did that really well. So that was really cool.
I agree. I like that a lot. I think mm-hmm that the depth you got with Riley, especially for mm-hmm that, was really cool with those, of these kind of interactions or understanding. Like, you, in the first game, you understood about Alex as she talked with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool, and you got to relate with them. But this one, it felt like it was almost like... You know, relating with Rex was really just an outflow of
mm-hmm
relating with Riley. You know, it was
yeah
just more on Riley, which yep I thought was cool. I mm-hmm liked that. And was, I don't know, a unique way to do that.
Yeah, because there was less characters in this game. Because the first one, there was like, what, five?
Yeah.
Five, you're like, kind of all interacting with and balancing.
Mm-hmm.
This was just mainly two.
Yeah, it was really you and Jacob, basically,
yeah,
the whole game.
The whole time, except for random interactions with the three hooligans.
Right.
The youths.
Right.
Yeah. And last thought. Did they explain how, like, Alex and those kids got out? I was a little confused about how they got out, but the other people didn't get out.
I don't know.
Because I swear they were talking about how, like, they couldn't get out. And they were just... Because, remember, Alex was trying to get Olivia... And those two other kids to, like, let them out, essentially.
Right.
I thought she'd given up on that. So the fact that they still got out was kind of like, I don't know what's going on. I was a little confused about that.
Yeah. Maybe it's because Alex is still part of this dimension or something.
Yeah, because she had sort of had a physical body towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But she wasn't... That's a good question. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Like, is it because she's from... Like, she would... They'd still all be around in present time?
Yeah. Maybe it was, like, it's not long enough after it happened.
Or maybe because they're not dead. Like, the Sunken, I guess, all died, right?
Oh, true.
Like, they all died in the sub or whatever.
Good point.
Maybe that's why?
Yeah, actually, that would make sense. Yeah, because they were talking, like, the Sunken needed bodies to get back. Like, they need to, like... almost possess a body and take it over. Right. Whereas they probably still have bodies because they didn't.
They're not dead.
They were just on the ferry. Or they were somewhere on the island.
Right. They were.
Somewhere.
They were stuck in a time loop, but they still had bodies.
Yeah.
The other ones, I guess conscience or whatever it is stuck, but they're dead though.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. No idea. Yeah. I feel like we should go to Reddit and look it up, and I bet someone has like a really succinct few paragraphs explanation.
No, yeah. I guess that's got to be it, is that they already have bodies. Alex and her friends didn't need to take a body.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Olivia talking to, like, her parents are dead or anyone else. They would need bodies to possess to come to our dimension.
Yeah.
Because I guess what it would be, right, is that there's the here and now, like, a live dimension where everyone has bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the fake dimension where everyone's dead and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this sort of middle one, right, where they're like trying to pass into it. But by closing from the inside, it shuts it. And so they can't get out. Mm-hmm. But everyone there can still engage. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
Because it seemed like Olivia would be engaging with her parents or the Sunken or whomever in that dimension in sort of a weird... eternity kind of
some
thing.
Kind of weird time loop
sort of thing, but they wouldn't have bodies. It would be, I guess, more visiony, like the things we've popped through.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, wild stuff.
Yep.
I know we talked about it briefly at the end, but I did like the little interactions with the side characters on the walkie. I thought that was a decent supplement for not having your group the same way you did before.
It was a cool wrinkle.
Yeah, I thought that was nice to add some people in and like sort of see how they were, just since like I guess in the first game it was like you and Jonas, Alex and Jonas were kind of your 1-2, sort of like the Riley Jacob, but your other three were definitely more involved still in the other game.
You still did a lot with other people too.
Yeah.
And would do missions.
Because you could, like, choose who you'd go with or talk to them about a thing.
Yeah, which would add, like, build or hurt relationships. So, it felt like you're balancing more.
Yeah.
In the first game, potentially.
Yeah, this one it was kind of more, you're invested, or I guess not, if you didn't, but in Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And then really it's, like, the mission.
Yep.
Sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all I've really got. Do you have anything else?
No.
Cool. Well, then we can move on to some listener feedback. First up, we got Nikki on Twitter said, "It is cool. It was cool. Definitely enjoyed having another installment. Love the time jumpy stuff. Didn't really like the child plot because it changed heavily how I approached the end choice. But otherwise, a great game. I still like the first one more, though." Mm. I think that I feel like a two-edged sword about the child plot. I think that Nikki's right, it does change the ending and like made some of that more complicated than like choosing like I'll sacrifice myself or something. That felt somewhat off the table in some ways, but I did like the complexity it felt like it brought. I do really think the like concept of like you have a child and you have this relationship, but also, like, what if it ends bad? Well, do you want to invest in it or not? Like, that's fucking great.
That's tough.
Like, rough. And even like a maturing of your problems of like this compared to the first Oxenfree, right? The first one is like they're teenagers doing teenager shit. And not that it doesn't matter in any of that, but this one, it just like
problems are bigger consequences.
Yeah, I feel like it aged, you know, like all of it.
Yep.
And I think that's cool. I do like that. I think that that's a good a good move by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I liked the child plot. I think it did add a layer of, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, it didn't make Riley unsacrificable, but it made the choice of, like, well, I'm just going to sacrifice myself more difficult because I'm not just sacrificing myself.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. It's different. Johnny on Twitter said, it was a satisfying conclusion. I really enjoyed it, but perhaps not as much as the first one. But honestly, I didn't expect to, as so much of what I enjoyed about the first one was discovering the mystery. I feel like that's pretty well said. I definitely like the first one better. And this one, you kind of knew about the sunken and that kind of stuff. So it did remove a little bit of the mystery, for sure.
Yeah.
Or most of the mystery, I guess.
No, yeah. I guess the first one, we were like, what is this?
Yeah, what for the quite hell is happening?
Yep. Yeah, quite a while.
Yep.
K-Drop on Twitter said, played it twice and I loved it.
Nice.
So that's awesome.
Bob on Twitter said, phenomenal, great game and performances.
Nice. Skylarkey on Twitter said, the storytelling was just as good, if not better, than the first game. But I found the story itself not as interesting this go around. Music and sound design are absolutely stellar. Some amazing moments visually and orally. I quite loved it. No one does natural conversations better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely shout out to the music and sound design.
Like, oh, they, yeah, brought up. For sure.
I thought that they really nailed that again, just like the first game. That was something that stood out there and thought was really good and did it again. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Callum on Twitter said, loved it. Really liked the cast of new characters, especially the protagonists, Riley and Jacob, and as before, the art and music were great. I also loved how Alex and Co. from the first game were brought back and their stories were tied together for an emotionally satisfying ending. True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, right on, Callum. Lastly, Tiny and Tired on Twitter said, I loved it. I thought they found such cool ways to add on to the OG gameplay. Also, the art was gorgeous. A screenshot from Lost Signals is now my laptop background.
Nice.
Love that.
Yeah, it's great when a game does that. You're like, oh, dude.
Uh-huh.
Taking that screenshot.
Oh, yeah. And I agree. I thought, like they both and others have said, really love the art in this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Despite playing a lot of games, I don't feel like many have had quite the same kind of art that, mm-hmm, Oxenfree does.
Agreed.
You know, there's different arts that are good looking and stuff, but the Oxenfree feel, I don't know. Night School, mm-hmm, has a feel. It has a look.
Mm-hmm.
It is what they are. And even After Party, for that matter.
Yeah.
Of all three of them, like, they have a look. They have a way they play. They have a way their dialogue is. They have, mm-hmm, the way they sound. They have the music in it that they do. Like, they have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. I don't know that I've thought about that till right now talking about it, but their games all have that, and, mm-hmm, it's in a good way, not in a they're all the same sort of way.
Yeah.
But in a, like, you know what you're getting in a really enjoyable way. This, mm-hmm, has me more excited for whenever they put out whatever's next. I mean, mm-hmm, I know this just came out, so I'm sure whatever they do next is in a few years. But
it'll happen, though, because Netflix bought them, so.
No, yeah, that's true. And maybe, I guess, that could make it happen sooner.
Yeah, because Netflix got some moolah.
Yeah, Netflix has some money, so maybe they can put that into their games. I hope that Netflix is getting enough plays of this game on there to,
mm-hmm,
get them hype on that, to keep that going. But I don't know. I want more Night School, I feel like, after this, mm-hmm, of their stuff, like. I think even After Party, like, I think when we played it, I was maybe hoping for too much Oxenfree.
Mm-hmm.
So my hopes were maybe a little too high, but that was a cool game and it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And unique and weird. And
very different.
Yeah.
Oh, super different. Yeah. Never played anything like that game.
Yeah. Never at all. Which, like, again, for having done so many of these, like,
mm-hmm,
I don't know. That's cool when the games bring stuff like that, where you're like, oh, this is pretty new. Like, this, I feel like this is one of the, I don't know, maybe this is premature, but I feel like this is one of the games that I've played this year that I've liked the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it stood out that way. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Nice job all around by them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just thinking about, like, I've never played a game like After Party before. The only game I've played, like, Oxenfree is Oxenfree 2. So it's just kind of,
mm-hmm,
and I guess After Party and Oxenfree are similar setups to, yeah, some extent. But yeah, other than that, it's like, that's pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really, really cool. Really well done, too.
Yeah, totally. Nice. Well, cool. That's all we've got.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oxenfree 2. If you have more on Oxenfree 2, we'd love to talk about it. Our Twitter is at StoryEverPod. Or you can email us at thegreateststoryeverplayed@gmail.com. Like we said at the top of the episode, this one slash, I guess, the Ask Us Anything number two, kind of in phase one of the podcast. We will be back with more stuff to talk about in the future at some point. I don't know. We'll post on socials when stuff come.
Phase two.
Yeah, phase two. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, exactly. But there'll be more stuff. And excited to keep talking games, but yeah, we'll see you then.
Yep, see you.